You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
All roads lead to the Purple Project Podcast.
Triple P is all about the happenings across Kansas State Athletics in Manhattan, Kansas.
Football, basketball, and everything else in between. K-State is ready to compete with top teams among the Big 12 Conference.
The kickoff of the Purple Project Podcast starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Purple Nation, welcome into another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. Hashtag emergency pod. Yes, sir. Recording on this Tuesday, the day after the 4th of July, July 5th, 2022. I hope everyone in K-State Nation, around K-State and the U.S. had a fantastic 4th of July. This is Eddie Greer, host of the Purple Project Podcast, where we cover all things K-State sports here in Manhattan, Kansas. Before I bring on my co-host on for episode 107 of this podcast, you can find the Purple Project Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Odyssey, and a couple more podcasting platforms as well. And this is presented to you by our partner, AutoFest 2022, the Rally in the Valley, pretty much a month away from right now in Manhattan, Kansas. When this pod comes out tomorrow night, it will be July 6th, officially 1 month away from the inaugural car show, will be taking place in the parking lot of the Midwest Car Dream Collection Center, west side of Manhattan, Kansas, for you talentees out there interested in putting your antique car into the show, or you're going to be coming out of town, make sure you tell the Purple Project Podcast sent you. What a huge day for Kansas State all around, for you, for us K-State Nation folks. And time to bring on my co-host, usual, for the Purple Project Podcast on this official Avery Johnson. Welcome to K-State Day, none other than San Diego native out there in San Diego, California. And, of course, he is a K-State alum himself, Alex Aiden AA. What's going on?
Not too much, Eddie. I got my purple on, wore it today intentionally in hopes that it would be a celebratory day. And it was indeed a celebratory day, as I thought it would be, or I would not have been this confident, because usually I wouldn't just throw a K-State shirt on in confidence in a commitment day, but relatively confident today. Did go our way, and Avery Johnson is he is not a Wildcat because he has not put a pen to paper, but he is verbally committed to being a Wildcat. So, great day to be a Wildcat, and just so much to break down, Eddie, for us in this Avery Johnson. What does it mean for this recruiting class? What does it mean for K-State football moving forward? You know, what does it mean in the quarterback room? What do they need to do to get from the point they are now to Avery Johnson when he's ready to play? There's so many different things to dissect. And then talk about Avery and Avery's game and, you know, kind of the way it fits into K-State and their offense and some of those different things. But, you know, I want to say one thing, Eddie, that I have heard as a continual trend really throughout this recruiting process when we're seeing K-State in the running for a couple four-star receivers in Joshua Manning, Jacoby Lane. There's actually a new four-star recruit that is now interested in K-State, according to KSO, since the Avery announcement, ironically enough. And, you know, obviously seeing Avery Johnson, Dylan Edwards. The one thing that I have heard from multiple people is that what really kind of sealed the deal on a lot of this was Colin Klein. And Colin Klein, and just the impact of him becoming the offensive coordinator and his recruiting skills and him being able to pitch, to really pitch these kids on K-State, what K-State's doing has really played an integral role in it. And, it just makes me wonder if that Texas game never happened and Cordy Messingham was still on this staff, where would we be right now? I don't think we'd be in the same spot because I've heard a lot of Derek Young all over the place today because he's obviously the most plugged-in recruiting analyst in the K-State world, mm-hmm. Him and Ryan Wallace. And you know, he's talking. He said, you know, he didn't think K-State would be on the top three or top five if it weren't for Colin Klein. You know, same thing for Dylan Edwards. And it's just Colin Klein has played an integral role, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for what we've seen happen with K-State. And not just that, but K-State in general, I mean, they've had difficulty getting quarterbacks over three stars in Manhattan. This has been something that's been really difficult for them to do. Colin Klein has successfully recruited three four-star quarterbacks to Manhattan since he's been a coach there. And Skylar Thompson, Jake Grubly, and now Avery Johnson. So he's clearly got an eye for finding good quarterback talent and being able to successfully get it to Manhattan. So, I mean, just a credit to Colin Klein on that. So, like I said, a lot for us to break down. A lot of other stuff going on as well in the Big 12 conference that we'll discuss later in the week. But, again, great day to be a Wildcat. Looking forward to discussing all things Avery Johnson on Avery Johnson Day.
Yeah, I was thinking about that today. The whole Texas game, going back last fall. When that happened, that debacle at Texas, we would be in a whole different situation.
Yeah,
I think for sure with Chris Klieman being Courtney Musseum's close friend and everything else like that, and then the whole Texas situation, which we have talked about at length on these weekly podcasts there. So yeah, I was thinking about that today, and oh boy, how things have changed from then to July 5th, 2022, where K-State's recruiting has really picked up. And yeah, you mentioned it. Colin Klein, the move. Everyone, all the recruits, Dylan Edwards. And I find also a common theme on this as well. Dylan Edwards told Colin Klein he was coming silently without telling social media that, or anybody else that for that matter. And listening to Avery Johnson's just a while ago, actually, an hour or two ago, getting myself caught up on big news today, obviously. Avery said as well, he told the staff that he was going to come here to Manhattan without others coming in and knowing it as well. So they kept it under wraps. That's been a common theme as well. So kudos to Avery and Dylan for a job well done. They're not blowing out of proportion and whatnot. And just listening to Avery's post-commit conference there, dude was smiling from one ear to the other. He seems like a really good kid. He even said he's now with his announcement out of the way, he can focus on, for those of you who don't know where Avery is coming from, he's right now playing. He's going to get ready for his senior season at Mays High in Wichita, Kansas, for his big senior season coming up here in the fall. Johnson, obviously, he was the top recruit in the state, number one in the state. 6'2", 170-pound, dual-threat passer, and as Alex mentioned, Colin Klein has a good eye for these three-star-up quarterbacks. Came in as this recruit as a four-star rating on every recruiting website there, and according to that, he was a top-rated high school player in the state of Kansas for the 2023 recruiting class there. Note here, I heard this on last week when I was getting caught up with the Power Cat podcast led by Fitz. Now, with Avery, this upcoming year, but next year when he lands on campus, K-State now has regional ties now since Josh Freeman, going all the way back to 2006, which blows my mind as well. I was not here when the Josh Freeman era happened here. I heard some good things and I heard a lot of bad things about it. I'm not going to get into that right now.
I'll say this, Eddie. I'll say this. I do have a Josh Freeman tie. I went to school with his sister. She was in my grade at my school.
Really?
I knew the Freemans pretty well. I should say the Freemans. I didn't know Josh that well. But I knew his sister, Aubrey, very well. I'll just say this. Josh got a bad rap. I shouldn't say he got a bad rap. I think people understood the talent that he had. He's a first-round draft pick in the NFL. You don't just become a first-round draft pick in the NFL just out of thin air. I think big part of the problem was the Ron Prince era. I think that was really a big part of the problem. And was Josh Freeman ever properly utilized that's another question for another day. And then obviously Josh had some struggles, some personal struggles that he juggled that also kind of got him in the NFL. Even though I feel like he kind of got an unfair shake there. But you can't deny his talent. I mean, he was an uber talented player there out of Kansas City, and was a tremendous talent. That just unfortunately was just. I felt like it was just never quite utilized correctly at Manhattan.
I've also heard of that as well, so I heard it all. Yeah,
And can I say this too about Avery? I've heard everyone say this, and just based on what I've seen on clips of him and seeing the statistics and the evaluation for him to the Elite 11, everyone has said they feel like he's really, really underrated. Like that, the fact that he's a dual threat quarterback, it kind of, they feel like it almost serves as a ding for him because people forget about his arm and his improv skills and a lot of the things he can do because they just think of him as a run first quarterback. And he even mentioned that in his press conference that, like, I'm a pass first guy. Like, I'm not a run first quarterback, I'm a pass first quarterback. And, you know, I've got a good arm and I'm confident in that arm. And it seems like a lot of people forget that. And it's almost served as kind of a little bit of a ding on him in kind of the recruiting process and where he lines up. So majority of people think that he's really underrated. He's really a lot better than that 4-star rating top 250 player in the country where he is right now, which kind of makes you wonder, you know, Eddie, kind of what his ceiling could be, especially because he's a 3-sport athlete, right? You know, he doesn't focus on football year round. So once he starts focusing on football year round, What's in there that maybe hasn't been unlocked? You know, that's also an interesting thing to I think highlight for people to look out for.
Yeah, and I was actually saw a snippet of him playing basketball and him throwing it down in one of those games as well. So
he's great at everything he does. Great basketball player, great baseball player. He has over 400, Eddie. He's an over 400 hitter in baseball.
I did not know that.
And he's got a 4.1 GPA. I mean, I don't know what he doesn't do good.
Yeah, well, what can he not do is a good question, but...
Eddie, did you ever hit 400 in a season?
I did not. I was a over 300 career hitter.
Wow, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Over 300. Wow.
Yep, left-handed. I throw left-handed, right left-handed, and a bad left-handed, so... anyone comparing me to Tony Gwynn and a few other players.
Holy.
Yep.
You realize I'm in San Diego, right? That's high praise calling you Tony Gwynn.
Yep. And that's another podcast I can get down to, for sure. Wow. I was a pretty good baseball player. Yeah. Before.
Wow, Tony Gwynn. Okay. I'm talking Tony Gwynn over here. I like it.
Yeah. And, all things Avery Johnson, he's coming off of a tremendous year. Junior season at Mays, where he completed over 50% of his passes, 56 to be exact, 2,550 yards, 20 touchdowns. As Alex mentioned, he's a thrower first, which is very good because I've seen also some clips as well as many of you guys as well out there, K-State Nation. The dude's got an arm as well. I'm like, dang. On the ground, 1,000-yard rusher, 22 touchdowns as a running quarterback. So that's a good mix right there of throwing the ball in the air for touchdowns and a legit dual-threat quarterback as well. You don't know what he's going to do there as well. And obviously, he had what I came across, 23 offers there. We talked about this off air. I was before I hit the record button here. The bridge quarterback, the good old bridge quarterback, kind of like the Atlanta Falcons. I've heard this on the Atlanta Falcons podcast I listen to. Sorry, folks, for bringing the Falcons into this conversation, but I'm gonna do it anyway. So Adrian Martinez obviously will be the assuming in a perfect world, everything goes well, and Martinez is close to 100% before September 3rd against South Dakota. They are apparent Skylar Thompson. And of course, Will Howard, we talked about this last week's podcast. Okay, or so that's episode 106. If you have not downloaded and checked that out, K-State fans, I encourage you to do that. Part one before you listen to part two of this podcast as well. So definitely, Martinez grad transfer, 1 year, and then the sea is going to part. It's going to be wide open here. Will Howard, obviously, which the coaching staff loves, obviously, and find it here that Jake Rubley, obviously, that this is going to be really key for him to see what his next move is. Going to stay put, or he's going to compete with the number one quarterback in the state looming over you guys. So that is going to be a really big question, and I haven't even mentioned Jaren Lewis yet in this one as well. And we've talked about on past Pro Project Podcast weeklies about somebody's going to transfer out. So that is going to be even looming large now with Avery's commitment here to K-State now, even bigger. So there's that as well. But there's so much anticipation, obviously, for this year for the K-State football team on the field. And now, afterwards now, with a tremendous class now, with Dylan Edwards a couple weeks ago, now you have Avery to the mix now, to this tremendous recruiting class of 2023 now in the mix now. Future's ripe for K-State, but we got unfinished business. We haven't even reached August yet. We got a lot of football yet to be played as well. So much excitement here in Manhattan and wherever you listen to podcasts, K-State Nation, wherever it's Manhattan or out of state, you got to be excited about where this is trending. Chris Kleiman, Colin Klein, Taylor Bratt, all the applause goes to those guys. For a job. Well done. The job's not done yet. There's still some bigger fish out there as well as KSO's. I'm blinking on his name now.
Derek Young.
Derek Young. Yeah, I had a blank for a second. Derek Young said the dominoes can officially fall. It definitely has. Obviously, Josh Manning has yet to commit. He pulled away from his announcement thanks to Mizzou. And then Jacoby Lane, who we mentioned on the podcast last week, there's been a lot of interest on him. And Avery has talked to both of those and built relationships with those, that what he's told the media today as well. So the job's not done yet, but K-State has to have now two big aces on the 2023 recruiting class, Dylan Edwards and Avery Johnson. Now, back to the quarterbacks, what we discussed last week. We talked heavily about Will Howard and Adrian Martinez. Now, we can talk about Will Howard now, even more so now, with Jaren Lewis and Jake Rubley, who did not have play senior season, which I was thinking, Alex, I was thinking about that as well today as well. How oddly that is for him. Did not play his senior season, and he has not played a single snap or even practice. I'm sure he's practiced, but when he first came onto the scene, I mean, he was rumored, as we heard or read, slow to learn the playbook. So now, fast forward to now, I haven't heard anything, hopefully, about Jake Rubley and how his progression is. He was, a four-star
quarterback? Technically, he was a higher recruit than Avery. Now, do I think that he is as good as Avery? No. Most people who have compared the two, Eddie, have said that Avery is the better prospect, the better talent, that really some of the composite scores kind of drove Rubley's really ranking up, because there were just a couple of recruiting sites that had him so high. But he technically was a little higher than Avery on those composite recruiting rankings.
Yeah. Interesting. So it got me there off guard a little bit, but yeah, absolutely.
Didn't mean to. I'm happy to give my opinion, if you would like, Eddie, on such a topic at the quarterback.
I will say this. Things have gotten a lot interesting there. So obviously, Avery still has unfinished business himself with his upcoming senior season at May, so he's got to take care of business over there first. And there was a video of him with the his Wildcat shirt on, working on his craft. So yep. The work's not finished. So a very impressive young man out there to continue to work on his craft and get ready for his senior season over there in Wichita, Kansas, which is pretty big in high school football in its own right. But yeah, this has been very impressive overall what K-State coaching staff have done with this recruiting. Has turned it around. I haven't heard anything, at least to this point, on what KU has done. But clearly, K-State has ruled this state here this summer with the recruiting. And obviously, it's not done yet. There's just some big fish roaring out there. And hopefully, we can hopefully get either one or both the receivers as well. And we haven't even said, prior to Avery Johnson's commitment to K-State, Joe Jackson made his commitment to K-State. Yep. The running back from Florida, from the state of Florida, which I'm familiar with. That's huge for K-State. So add another running back out of the K-State mix to the recruiting class, which we had Anthony Freyas II on a few weeks ago as well. If you have not checked it out, that's a must listen as well. K-State fans who are looking for more K-State content, make sure you add the Pro Project Podcast to your K-State list of podcasts out there. But yeah, Alex, I'm definitely interested in hearing your take. Obviously, we talked about the bridge quarterback and what this year means for K-State here this fall.
Yeah, definitely. And just quickly, you mentioned Joe Jackson. Joe Jackson, I do think is a really big recruit for K-State. He's actually number three, believe it or not. He's actually the third highest ranked recruit they have now, behind Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards. He's number three. So I think that kind of shows you that, like, you know, Joe Jackson was a three star, but I mean he was a high three star, fringe four star. You really are going to have a nice running back duo there with Joe Jackson and Dylan Edwards. And let's not forget the K-State is also still the right four star running back, John Randall, down in I believe it's the Wichita area as well, who's also a Kansas player. So if you get him, ooh, you could have just a three-headed beast at running back if he commits. So Joe Jackson over the weekend, that was a huge one for them. You just quickly, too, you mentioned Joshua Manning. He was going to commit to K-State. That had been confirmed. It was actually confirmed on the radio by Derek Young on 610 Sports today. He was going to commit to K-State. Mizzou got in his ear in the closing hours, and got him to back out of that. So F you, Mizzou. Forget you, Mizzou. Okay, forget you. So now it's really going to be. It sounds like it's really just going to gotta be a. Just got to be a dogfight between K-State and Mizzou for Joshua Manning's services. Avery Johnson committing today can't hurt. Can't hurt the prospect. And you know, you mentioned Jacoby Lane is out there still. Honestly, they're both four stars. Eddie, the way I look at it is if you can get one of those two, I think I'd be content with that. If you can get either Lane or Manning, if you can get one of them in Manhattan, I'd be content with them. Both would be amazing. But you know, I take one. You know, well, I'm not going to get greedy. I need both. Give me both four-star receivers. No, I mean yes, but I will be content with one at this point. And as I mentioned, you know, there was a nugget dropped this evening that there's another four-star receiver that is interested in K-State. So those are kind of those dominoes that we're talking about falling, which we'll also talk about here probably a little bit later. But getting back to the bridge quarterback situation, and Jake Rubley. You know, Eddie, my gut is that I think Jake Rubley is kind of the wild card in all of this because highly recruited quarterback, highly recruited four-star, another four-star. And he, as you mentioned, didn't play well. Senior year of high school, last year he fought injuries. He had some, there were reportedly some issues that he may have trouble picking up the playbook, in part because he couldn't get on the field. And, you know, so we haven't really played in a couple of years. So you don't really know, you know, I mean, the coaching staff has a better idea than we do, but we don't really know where Jake Rubley's at. You know, we just don't. we're kind of in the dark on that. So all we know is that he wasn't ready to play last year. When K-State had the quarterback carousels going on, Jake Rubley was not in a position to play. The coaching staff was not comfortable playing him, and we knew that. So we're really not sure. So he's kind of a wild card in the situation. My hunch, based on absolutely no inside knowledge, is that we won't see him take a snap in K-State, at K-State. I could be wrong. Absolutely could be wrong. I do think he'll be on the roster this year, but I just question if he'll hang around after this year. Because I think that at this point, Will Howard's probably, he will have, this is junior year coming up this year now at K-State.
Technically, yeah.
So I don't see a reason why Will Howard would transfer at that point, especially because I think that he's going to be in contention to be able to be a starter a senior year. And he could potentially be the bridge guy to Avery. So I don't see a reason why Will Howard to transfer. I don't see that. It kind of leaves you wondering, Rubley, he could have redshirted last year, which would make him a redshirt freshman this year. He still got all his years. It's just hard for me to see a scenario where we see Rubley on the field. So my personal take is that I don't think we'll see him. But again, could be wrong. Could absolutely be wrong. But I would be stunned if something shook out to where Jake Rubley ended up being the future quarterback for the K-State Wildcats and not Avery Johnson. That would stun me. I think it is Avery's job moving forward. I think that's who the coaches want. I think that's who they see as the future of I could not call them a franchise. I guess they are a franchise in a way. That's more of a pro term, but that's okay. Of that program. And, so it just kind of doesn't leave a spot for Jake Rubley. But you mentioned this year, you've got Adrian Martinez. You're going to have him for a year. He's your guy, right? He's locked in. Going to be the guy this year. We talked about it last week. If you want to learn more about it, go check out last week's podcast. But we talked about it last week. He's your guy this year. What happens in 2023? Does K-State say, we're going to start Avery Johnson as a true freshman? Do they say, we need a bridge quarterback, so we're going to go get a transfer? Do they say, we're going to go ahead and roll with Will Howard? Do they maybe do a dual quarterback thing where they've got Will Howard taking some snaps, Avery Johnson taking some other snaps? I mean, it could go a lot of different directions. I would tend to think that they wouldn't go the transfer route because I don't think you would want to ruffle the Avery Johnson feathers or risk ruffling the Adrian Johnson feathers by bringing a transfer in. So I wouldn't think that they would do that. But at the same time, I don't know if Avery Johnson, we talked about this last week as well, I don't know if he'll be ready his freshman year to go.
Right.
He might be. He may be. And if he is already Eddie, awesome. Fantastic. In an ideal world, if Avery Johnson could be your starting quarterback his freshman year like Josh Raymond was and, be the starter as a true freshman, perfect. Awesome. That is ideal. That is absolute ideal scenario. But he's got to put on some more weight. I mean, he weighs as much as me. Look, Avery and I were both 6'2", 175, okay? That is a good height and weight. I love it. It's great for me. I'd get snapped in half on that football field. That's the truth. I would. So Avery Johnson would not get snapped in half on the football field because he is a freak of an athlete, and I am not. So I barely can go 3 miles on a treadmill. So I think that they need to probably put some more weight on him, get him probably a little bit bigger. And how long does it take for him to do that? I'm not sure. I don't know how long it takes. At what point are you comfortable putting him out of the field? Because you don't want him to get hurt. You don't want to send Avery out there. You don't want him to get hurt, especially because he's a dual threat quarterback. He runs a lot, and if he's going up against big 12 defenders, that just don't want to put him at risk. Because you're really kind of putting your crown jewel at risk at that point. So I think it's much more likely you'd see someone like Dylan Edwards start as a true freshman. Before Avery Johnson, but either way, we'll see. But my guess is Will Howard's the guy. I think that he's probably going to be the guy. I would guess that he probably gets the nod to begin the season. Again, this is looking way, way down the line. who the heck knows what happens, but my way too early guess would be that Will Howard probably gets enough. He'll be a senior. He'll know the team. He'll know the playbook. He'll know what K-State expects of him. And Avery Johnson won't have to carry the weight of a team as a true freshman. And if he's potentially a little undersized still, he can bulk up a little bit and try to get a little bit bigger to kind of help his durability on the field. But you never know. You know, maybe he throws on 15, 20 pounds. He comes to K-State at 190, 195. He's ready to roll. You know, who knows? Who knows the way that shakes out? But that's just something to watch to see. And that's something to watch, Eddie. That is something for us to watch. I don't know if he'll be a guy that'll be an early commit or not. I'm going to guess, or not early commit, an early enrolled, one of the early enrollment players. I know Dylan Edwards is. I know he's getting to Manhattan in December, but I would doubt that Avery Johnson is because he's a three-sport athlete.
Yeah.
So he'll be playing baseball most likely in the spring, so I don't think we'd see him in the spring, like during spring ball, where we probably would Dylan Edwards. So we may not be able to get some insight, you know, into that next spring when spring ball rolls around. But either way, it's something to keep an eye on there. But we definitely can watch Will Howard, right? We definitely watch Will Howard next spring, kind of see what they're doing with him, see how they're using him, and get an idea on that. And look, we said this last week, Eddie. The coach just has to hire Will Howard. They like him.
Yeah.
They like him. Chris Klein said he's the best backup in the country. So that tells you what they think. I don't agree, but that's what they think. That's what they think. But look, do I think Will Howard will be better in a year than he is right now? Yeah, I would assume he probably will be. I think he is better now than he was a year ago. How much better? That can be an argument. Again, go listen to last week, Eddie, and I talked about it a little bit. But.
Listen to that.
Go check it out because we do talk about Will Howard and his progression in that podcast, or lack thereof. I don't want to say lack thereof, but either way, point being, I think Will Howard's probably gonna be your guy. I bet you they end up splitting reps. That's a long story short. Actually, that was not a long story short. That was really a long story told the long way. I think they'll end up splitting reps. I think that's what's gonna happen. I think Will Howard will start the season. I think Avery will eventually get in there and get some snaps. And who knows, maybe Avery can take the job over halfway through the season. Maybe they use Avery in certain packages just to try to keep some of the hits off of him. But that's kind of what I would expect. But who knows, because we're still over a year out.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Episode 107 of the Trophy Podcast. Emergency pod coming to you day after the 4th of July. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden for the Pro Project Podcast Weekly Edition. Yeah, that's my guest too. I'm with you, Alex, unfortunately. But Will Howard will be the guy. And I am not ready to say my too early predictions yet on what's going to happen a year from now, obviously. Yeah, I don't think Avery will be ready, obviously. But they're going to I don't know when he's going to be here. I'll assume after baseball season. But, again, a lot can happen between now and then. So,
yeah,
we'll just have to keep our eyes on that. Obviously, a lot football to unfold for this year's K-State team as well. So, the quarterback position, definitely, definitely intriguing. And, yeah, Jake Rubley is definitely the wild card. See what he does. But, yeah, I mean,
Eddie. Maybe Jake Rubley, he emerges as a dark horse and he ends up becoming like the bridge guy. I mean, you never know, right? You never know.
Yeah.
It's just hard for me to envision that because he's going to be a true freshman. And that doesn't line up timeline-wise for him to be a bridge. You'd think he would go to another school, right, and then try to begin a career there.
Yeah, so again, we'll have to see what happens. Very interesting to see how that goes. All right, and I stumbled on something here on 3.com. On 3, of course, keeps up with recruiting as well here, and I'm just getting to know the website a little bit here. All right, so Alex mentioned to kind of the bridge off of the Avery Johnson commitment today here at K-State. Okay, we talked Joshua Manning, right? So Josh Manning, Missouri told him to back out. So it's going to be between him, them, and K-State, and right now, according to On3.com, they had K-State and Iowa State, and K-State by far, 81%, Iowa State, not even close, not in the ballpark. They are on that one. Jacoby Lane, who we've mentioned several times lately on the Pro Project Podcast Weekly Edition. Right now, it is going to be against Colorado State and K-State. Colorado State is 68%, and K-State is 21%. Now, again, two big pawns we have for K-State now. Dylan Edwards, commit, and Avery Johnson. So, again, so we'll see what happens there. As I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, Avery mentioned that he's been in contact with both Josh Manning and Jacoby Lane. So we'll be keeping track on those two potential wide receivers. And yeah, I'll definitely would like to get one of them. And hey, who knows? I think at this point, I'll take it a little step further. I think at this point now, way the K-State has done and way they have just, in my opinion, dominated the recruiting in state, which we have pleaded for since the beginning of this podcast started. I would try to get greedy and get both of them. Can obviously.
Oh, I would agree 100%.
Yeah, because you're going to lose talent from this football team for sure. Depending on what happens, obviously, but yeah, you're gonna lose some good guys from the offense next year. I know we're looking into the crystal ball, way too early crystal ball here, but you gotta think we have some potential first rounders, as we mentioned on this podcast recently. So,
Think about it. You'd be replacing guys like Deuce and Malik and Adrian Martinez and guys like that, and then you'd be putting out there Kidobe Lane, you'd be putting out there Joshua Manning, Dylan Edwards, Joe Jackson, Avery Johnson, you possibly could be throwing in there John Randall, you'd have a good offensive line. I mean, that's a pretty darn good offense, Eddie, once they get a season under their belt. Boy alive, I mean, they could do a lot of damage. It really just feels like it. They just get like a couple pieces, like just a couple more of these pieces, and there's going to be players that we're not even talking about right now. I mean, they're going to come out of the woodwork, and we're going to be like, oh, really? That's nice on that offense. And because it already feels like the offense is beginning to fill out, right?
Because
you've already got some young receivers that you know are going to be part of your future. And if you can get Lane and Manning, or one of them, and then potentially the four-star that we're hearing about tonight, just hypothetically, you're set at receiver. You're in a good spot there. They're already beginning to build this like running back duo with Jackson and Edwards. And if you get Randall in there, you're just talking about a three-headed monster. And that's Chris Kleiman's bread and butter, man. Remember what he did to the three-headed monster his first year with Gilbert and
Jordan Brown and Harry Trotter.
Yeah.
Yep.
They all were fresh, and you kept running them all out there. And they would be nothing compared to these three.
No, I mean, absolutely not.
No one missed them, but it would be nothing when you're looking at it from a talent perspective. I mean, that offense is in a really good position where, yeah, K-State's going to probably take a step back in 2023, but it's setting up really nicely. And you're right. I think if they can get Manning and Lane both, That's a good way to reload that offense really quickly and to raise the ceiling of the football program.
Yeah, you're basically you're gonna take a step back, but the future, like I've been saying all along this podcast tonight, future looks really bright for the Little Apple. So you mentioned some of the guys we ain't even talked about. I'm just continuing to look on here. You talked about the running back position, right? There's two others out there in the mix. They're out of state though. David Matabinga, he is from Marietta, Georgia. He's yet to commit. He has K-State in there, the top two right now, with Michigan State. DeJuan Lacy from Fort Worth, Texas, he has K-State up in the top two with Utah in the mix there. So I'm just going down the list here. Let's see. Let's get some more. Andre Davis, a Wildcat commit. I talked about him recently on the Daily Edition. You have not checked it out, please do that as well. So you already have Andre Davis coming to K-State, part of that 23 class right there.
Yeah, oh, we didn't even mention him.
Yeah.
That's going to be another one. You throw him and Sterling Lockett out there. Give up, everyone. Back away. Nothing you can do.
Yeah, damn, we didn't even mention Sterling Lockett. Oof,
yeah, you got Sterling, and then you got Andre Davis. You throw them in there, and you get Lane and Manning. I mean, just, my gosh.
Yeah, Andre Davis, 6'4". I don't know the size of, well, I assume he's the size, same size as his brothers. Talking about Sterling Lockett here. Josh Manning.
He's not very good.
Yeah, Josh Manning, 6'3". Jacoby Lane, 6'5". Avery talked about in this post-commit presser that he wants to put pieces around him that's going to make him better, right? So, so let's see here. Another receiver is yet to commit. Cale Combs. He's a Missouri product. He has K-State in his top. Actually, it's a dead heat between K-State and Western Michigan right now. And going back to Josh Manning here, he's a Lee Summit Missouri product. So that is, that you can tie that to Missouri wherever you want that. Another receiver that committed recently, or a name that I haven't heard of here, Eric Singleton. He's a 5'10 receiver. Committed a while back from Douglas, Georgia. So my home state gives us some shout out here on the Pro Project Podcast. How about that? So again, kudos to the entire recruiting staff for not only the job that they've done, obviously, the, for the most important part, in state, but going out to multiple states, Georgia, Florida, we've named. There's several others out there as well, so they're really expanding, and obviously with the new teams coming into the new new look, quote unquote, Big 12 coming up, you gotta go outside the box here, obviously. So, and then kind of refresh yourself a little bit. Again, I'm gonna probably butcher his last name, a tight end from again right here. Well, not exactly right here, but which is all Kansas. Will Anseal, tight end, 6'6", who committed a couple months ago to K-State. And then another tight end of commit. Well, he hasn't committed yet, but it looks like he could commit to K-State. he's from Minnesota. Chidi Obazor, 6'6", tight end who has K-State in his top two. And I don't know the other college right there. It looks like a zebra or something like that. But I'll move on there as well. That's just a guess there as well. And then the offensive line, we haven't mentioned them. Obviously, Grant Chapman, K-State's in the running four here. Offensive tackle, 6'6", 280. He has K-State in Iowa State right now, so that's going to be good. We'll hopefully beat Iowa State again in the recruiting battle we have done pretty much seems like all year long, all summer long.
Change.
Yes, it is, because
a big change. Yeah, something was not happening.
Yeah, because Iowa State. Iowa State was beating us, getting to the big dogs in the state.
Everything. And all recruiting battles.
Yeah, and that was really frustrating there as well. But I think the way that K-State has gone about their business has really turned the tide on Iowa State for sure. Camden Beebe, obviously, we know his big brother is here. He already committed to K-State. There, and then another name here that has not committed here, Hank Sinskus. What was wrong with that? I'm sorry to butcher last name there. He has Colorado as his favorite right now, but has K-State right up there in the mix. So that's an offensive lineman there. I love how this is returned to a recruiting show in a Purple Project podcast, but hey, that it's good. It's a good thing. Yeah, because definitely been learning. You know what? Step aside from this for a second. I have not been, even this is what I had in school, I have not been this in tune to recruiting in quite some time. Not even as a student at K-State, so.
Because it wasn't as good, Eddie. It wasn't as good.
No.
It wasn't as good as it is right now.
No, it was not. So definitely Chris Kleiman, Taylor Bratt, You can name everyone, Colin Klein, everybody gets a round of applause on what they have done. And again, some big fish are still out there to get as well. I'm going to stop right there. I can go to defense. There's going to be some playing time for that. But that's just the offense right now. Some commits already, and there's some that's not committed yet there as well. So any more, Alex, any more thoughts there to the offense in general? Obviously, we'll continue our position preview on Friday with Deuce Vaughn, the running back position. But yeah, any more thoughts to what you've seen so far? And kind of, if you have a sleeper pick or whatever, get that out too.
Yeah, a couple thoughts. First off, just want to remind people that Joshua Manning and K-State basketball commit Taj Manning, they are cousins. There's a connect. I mean, there is a connection.
I did not.
Of blood.
I was not aware of that.
they are indeed. Now, how close are they? I have no idea. I don't have a clue. But, hey, you know, it can't hurt. It can't hurt, I wouldn't think, unless they just have, like, the worst cousin relationship. I think they're cousins. I know they're related. I think it's cousins. I heard it once. Can't remember where. I just thought of that while I was looking through some of the recruiting stuff. But what I just wanted to hit on quickly, you mentioned the out-of-state stuff, Eddie, and that's definitely, I think, where things are probably going to pivot moving forward, just because, you know, a majority of the in-state has happened. I mean, a majority of them have already committed to K-State. There's still a couple others, but I want to highlight quickly the in-state before we do pivot to the out-of-state. Looking at the top 10 in the state of Kansas on 24/7, K-State has already 6 of the 10 top 10 players in Kansas committed. 6 of the top 10, Eddie. 6 of the top 10 players in the state of Kansas this year are committed to Kansas State University in what Tim Fitzgerald called the best recruiting class in the state of Kansas since he's covered the state.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he said in this recent episode. So, yeah.
So, wow. That is a huge turn of the tide because, as you mentioned, and K-State was not winning recruiting battles in the state of Kansas. Iowa State was winning recruiting battles in the state of Kansas, which was really, really frustrating. They were coming into our backyard every year, taking our guys, and it was frustrating. And to see K-State turn that tide, and to turn it in a year where the talent is so deep in the state is something that is really, really rewarding. And let's just quickly go back. You can go listen to Eddie and I talk many months ago about when this began to turn. You mentioned Will Anciak, the tight end, there at Kapan Mount Caramel Catholic, in which, ironically enough, Wichita, and also Wesley Fair, ironically enough, also in Wichita Collegiate. Those two commits to K-State. They both are 3-stars, but they committed to K-State. And they were 2 commits in the top 10. I believe they were the first 2, if not the first 2.
Yep, they were the first two because I remember doing dailies on both of them. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were like the first 2, and that was a huge deal. Even though they were only 3-stars, it was like, hey, K-State got 2 players in the top 10, and they beat Iowa State in both of them. And we said this could be the turning point. This could be turning the tide. Like, this could be a sign of times
to
come.
Yep, yes, sir.
And here we are. We fast forward a few months. We're looking at this list. K-State has landed the top 2 players in the state. Avery Johnson, number 1. Dylan Edwards, number 2. K-State is in the running for the number 3 player in the state, John Randall Jr. And they've got the number 6 player in the state, the number 7 player in the state, the number 9 player in the state, number 10 player in the state already committed before the 2022 season even begins for 2023. That tells you what this coaching staff has done in the state, and we're not even getting into 11 through 15, where K-State is in the running for a couple of those guys, too. The first time Iowa State comes up on this list of having a commit in the state of Kansas is at number 14. Number 14 on the list. So K-State has turned the tide. I can't tell you how big of a deal that is, because K-State and Iowa State, they're competing against each other directly for a lot of these same resources, and you have got to be able to win those battles to beat schools like that. So it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal, and it means more than just winning a recruitment. It really does when you're looking what they're doing in state, because it means that you're taking something from Iowa State. You're setting a precedent in your state, that it is your state. And these are things that K-State needed to do and were vitally important in their efforts to recruit. I think it's a much bigger deal that they're doing this in the state of Kansas. If they were doing it in the state of Florida, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. But I think the fact they're doing it in the state of Kansas and they're beating the Iowa State, the school who's been their kryptonite, I think that's a tone setter. I think it's a complete tone setter and changes the dynamics of the recruiting world. And now that you're close to accomplishing what you wanted in the state of Kansas, you can pivot out and you can look at other players out of state that can help you fill this roster in and can add additional talent and be able to really make this a dynamic roster. And we mentioned Jacoby Lane. That's a great place to start. With the player. You mentioned it. There's a lot of other players on the opposite side of the ball that K-State's in the running for. And, you got one of the top offensive linemen in the state. You've got one of the top athletes in the state. You've got one of the top receivers in the state. One of the top tight ends in the state. you've literally got one of the top running backs in the state, quarterback in the state. You're literally covering all the positions in the talent as well. So just really, really impressive to see that. Obviously, they've only got 12 commits, so this class is probably going to fill out, be closer to 20. You would assume without transfers by the time all said and done, so there's still a long way to go in this recruiting phase. But KT's at a really, really good spot. They're just at a spot where it seems they're loading up on offense. And again, I'll get back to what I said at the beginning of this podcast. The Colin Klein. The fact that they are attracting this much attention from these types of offensive weapons that they have not attracted attention in a very, 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 very long time, I think it speaks to Colin Klein, and I think it speaks to, again, the type of coach he is, the type of recruiter he is, and the style of offense that he's implementing, and players wanting to be a part of that offense not playing in an outdated system. And I really feel like that was a big deterrent for offensive talent at Kansas State. And now that you've got a coach in here that wants to implement some new schemes, wants to do some no-huddle things, and also it's just a generally great dude, just a great guy. We both were there when Colin was there. It's as good as they come. As good as they come as the people, mm-hmm. one of the nicest people we've ever met in the world. He can relate with anybody. He clearly relates to these players. And I think it really starts with him. And you mentioned Eddie, defense, that's really going to be the spot where they're going to be looking shortly after, because they're going to have to fill that defensive side out, because they're going to need defense to go with the offense. But even looking at that, I think that they're in a decent spot there, too. They obviously were able to, we mentioned this a couple podcasts ago, they got Donovan McIntosh, the corner. I think that was a really good get for him. I think there's some similarities with him with some of the past corners that they've had. And then we'll see if they can just kind of surround him with some talent. They got Colin Dunn. They were high on him at safety, too. By the way, Eddie, since we've come on the podcast, when we came on the podcast, K-State was 43rd overall in their recruiting class. Here we are an hour later. They've bumped up three spots. Somehow they've gone from 43rd to 40th. So no new recruits, but that these players, man, their rankings are going up. They're 24/7 liking it. They bumped up to 40. They bumped up three spots in an hour, just because people realize this class is awesome, Eddie. This is an awesome recruiting. But it's fun. We're actually talking about K-State football recruiting and smiling. Like, this is different.
Yeah, really different. Yeah, I was about, good thing you updated that, because I was looking at it the same thing. I don't know what website you're looking at, but yeah, I was looking on 24/7 Sports. And we talked about it on the last episode of the podcast. They were 43rd. Good thing you mentioned that. Now they're 40th. Top 40 now. Well inside the top 50 now. In
two
the
weeks
nation.
Ago, Eddie, they were 60th. 2 weeks ago, they were 60th. They've been to 20 spots in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. So it that right there shows where K-State recruiting, all the coaching staff that I mentioned, time in and time out for the last 5 minutes, has really improved for sure. And I don't know, well, obviously, I'm still on the same website and focusing a little bit on the Big 12 now here as we are closing in the end of this emergency podcast here on the Pearl Project Podcast Weekly Edition. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden. K-State was 8th in the conference. I don't know if that's changed. I mentioned on the last podcast that with these additions, these commits, like now officially Avery Johnson to K-State, would that change the needle a little bit? So I'm looking at it now, 8th. I don't know, Alex, if you have the updated version of that or not.
I am trying. I keep clicking Big 12, and it is not updating, but I saw 7th, and when I looked, it's not updating for some reason, but I saw 7th, so it's just right around what you were saying. And again, I think that just, again, speaks to the Big 12, and the quality of the recruiting of the entire conference is I guess it shows you at the level that the other schools are recruiting, which is why it is so important for K-State to be recruiting at that level. Now, let's also remember 24/7 Sports, they also include how many players are in your class. So some of these teams have 20 instead of 12, right? So once K-State has closer numbers, their numbers are going to be driven up. But I think more than anything, Eddie, I think it speaks where the Big 12 is. They both get the knock a lot of times for the talent in the conference, but they've also loaded with talent, man. K-State's 40th overall, and they're like 7th in the Big 12. That tells you how good the Big 12 is recruiting right now, which is why it's so important for K-State to be able to win these recruiting battles, to win the state of Kansas, and be able to really compete with the other schools.
Yeah, you mentioned the magic number for the recruits is 20. Well, right now, here, put a note on the recruiting front for time being. Texas Tech has 23 commits. They're 3rd in the conference, obviously with another new head coach in there. Baylor.
Yep,
Baylor, number 2 in the country, has 22 commits. There as well. And of course, the assumed favorite, preseason favorite conference to win the conference, Texas 18. With West Virginia. West Virginia is number 4. Texas is up number 1 right now in that area. West Virginia.
See, they all got more recruits than Bruce Eddie. They all got more recruits than K-State.
Yep. And West Virginia, 18. Iowa State, 17. K-State now has 12. And the lowest commits, obviously, is no shocker. KU, only 6 commits.
It's been a rough year for KU as a recruiting group. It hasn't been the best year for them.
That's where you can put a summary on that, how you like it. But K-State on the move in football as far as recruiting goes. Huge hit this afternoon as Avery Johnson commits to K-State over Oregon in Washington. So definitely Alex clued us in from the last episode that, you know, Avery wanted to be wanted. It was definitely here, right here in Manhattan, Kansas at K-State, and Avery is staying put in the state of Kansas. Real quick here, Jordy Nelson, Legends Classic Softball Game returns to the Bill September 11th. I was at the inaugural Jordy Nelson Legends Classic Softball Game last summer, and that was a treat in itself. And of course, it went down to a walk-off with Jordy Nelson himself, of course. Why not? It's your event. With a game-winning home run. So that was a lot of fun to attend that, and we'll probably attend that again this upcoming year as well. So definitely, if you're interested in coming out and seeing former K-State alums like Jordy Nelson last year, I know from memory, Ty Zimmerman was out there. A couple more football players. I think Kevin Locke was. It was Aaron Locke. I think both Lockets were out there, if I'm not mistaken, there as well. And several others from the basketball, women's basketball play was represented there. Men's basketball was represented there. Yeah, there's quite a few. So definitely you're interested, K-State Nation. Set, mark your calendar for September 11th there. Gates at Twin Family Stadium. Open. Oh, they moved it. Hey, okay, all right. So they're gonna move it actually. Okay, all right, sorry. So last year it was at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. So, and yeah, now they've officially moved this to Twin Family Stadium. So that we're actually going to play real baseball now. It was a softball game, so.
You're actually on the baseball diamond now.
Yeah, so Twin Family Stadium will open up at 10 a.m. and then 1 hour before the game. And then, of course, the sponsored game will be at 11. Home Run Derby will kick off around noon in the first pitch of the softball game. Tori Nelson, Legend Classic. Will be first pitch just after one as well. For more information, of course, we will bring a friendly reminder down the road after it gets closer. But for more information, if you're interested in showing up, definitely check out kstate.com for more information.
Yep, that's right. It's always a great event. It was a great event last year, and there was a ton of buzz around it. I think there's a really good showing out there. It's really cool. Really cool what Jordan Nelson's done with that event. Again, I think that's done. I think it's only the second year. But what he did with the event last year. And I'm just eager to see what he does this year. Eager to see kind of what he, kind of how he builds off it. And look, for a good cause. It's a great time. You can't beat it, Eddie. You can't beat it. If I recall, too, isn't that the football weekend as well? I can't remember what the date is off the top of my head, but I believe it's full weekend as well. So, hey man, get out there. It's going to be a great fall afternoon, or late summer afternoon, however you look at it. It's going to be a good time. I don't know, however you look at it. I don't know. That's summer out here on kind of fall out there or something. But either way, it should be a great event. Hopefully people can go out there and support it.
Yeah, and just to update you on that, kind of to finish off what Alex was trying to say there, the day before the Jordy Nelson Legends Classic on Toyton Family Stadium, that is the same weekend as the Missouri game. On September 10th, 11 a.m. kickoff there. Huge weekend for K-State football. And, of course, with wrapping up the following day with Jordy Nelson Softball Legends Classic. So, Missouri coming to town. Definitely, that's going to be an exciting weekend now that we know the date of the Jordy Nelson second annual Legends Classic there, so that's going to be an all-time for sure.
It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a great time, and as I did last year, too, they had the, on Saturday, they had a K-State football game on Saturday, they had a softball game on Sunday. Great weekend, opportunity to get out there for a weekend and now be able to take a boat. Hey, you can go see K-State whip up on the zoo on a Saturday and then go see some alums play on a Sunday. Does it get any better than that, Eddie?
No, it does not. That is a perfect planning schedule for planning there. So definitely get ahead of it. Definitely make sure you, if you're in town or definitely coming out to Manhattan to see K-State football that weekend, make sure you add on in the Jordy Nelson Legend Classic at Twin Family Stadium this year on September 11th, episode 107. Yes, 107 of the Pro Project Podcast Weekly Edition is in the books. Alex, any final thoughts for you, sir? I know we got another show coming on Friday.
Yes.
Any final thoughts? Right,
we've got another show coming on Friday, so everybody, stay tuned. We will get back to it. I can take it back to it. This isn't K-State Talk, but there's a lot of stuff going on, so be sure to tune in Friday. We got tons to break down. And when we discuss running back, Deuce Vaughn, that's the discussion. We can move on. I'm kidding. That is not the entire discussion. That will be a large chunk of the discussion. That'll be a great discussion. Again, I'll just say what I said at the beginning. Great day for Kansas State. I tweeted it. I said this is a huge day for K-State football. It really is. I think this is a huge day for K-State football. One of the biggest recruits that they've landed. But bigger than that, I think it's bigger than the stars, the rankings, and all that. I think the fact that you're able to go get the top quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, lead 11 QB. You're able to go get the best player in your state. You're able to beat out schools like Oregon and like Washington just after you beat out schools like Oklahoma and Nebraska for Dylan Edwards. And I just think that, again, it's bigger than just getting Avery. I think it's what it represents. And I think that's why it's such a big day for this university. Plus, I think Avery's going to be a really, really good football player. I think we're going to love watching him. I think he's Chris Kleiman's type of guy. He plays like Colin Klein, so he's got some great for Colin Klein to be coaching him, so it's exciting. And just a quick note on those rankings, too. You're right, Eddie. I would expect K-State to get a lot closer to a lot of those Big 12 teams in the recruiting rankings, so once K-State gets close to that 20 number, I bet you they'll be jumping a lot of those Big 12 schools, because I bet K-State finishes, Eddie. I'm going to say that they'll finish in the top 30. I'm going to say they're pretty close to being in the top 30 this year.
Once they get
everybody added and the numbers are about even. So that's going to be my prediction. I think that will put them in. Well, that's going to be their best recruiting class that I think I can ever remember. That's an amazing recruiting class they can finish in the top 30. So either way, it's not about ultimately it's not about the start. We know they've got coaches that can develop talent. We see the talent that is going into this program. And we know they're going to be able to develop the talent. These coaches are good coaches. They've done it before. This is the most talent that they've ever had. And you got to be excited about it. Again, great day for to be a Wildcat. And I look forward to talking sports in a couple days. Get out of here.
That is correct. Looking forward to it as well. Avery Johnson committing here to K-State. Joining Dylan Phillips. Not Dylan. That's the baseball play. Dylan Edwards. Oh my goodness. I got too excited.
We just did the baseball season.
I'll take that one. Dylan Edwards. There we go. Avery Johnson here to K-State. That's going to wrap things up on this edition of the Purple Project Podcast, folks. Out in San Diego, California, Eddie Greer right here in Manhattan, Kansas. And I want a big thanks to our partner, Rally in the Valley Auto Fest 2022, in another month, inaugural car show, which will be taking place at the Midwest Car Collection Center, West Side, on Manhattan, Anderson Avenue. Definitely, there is an episode on that in the archives on the dailies for more information. Make sure you go check that out. Download it and check that out as well. Eddie, Alex, we're checking out of here. Big day for K-State football. Let's see if we can keep this momentum going. We will talk to you again later on this week with more K-State football and more Deuce Vaughn. Go Cats!
On another episode of the Purple Project Podcast.
Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll catch y'all on the next episode. Thank you for listening. Go Cats!